In here on the long weekend. That's awesome. Glad to see that. There's quite a few here, Kyla. What's happening? Oh, is it the weather? Why aren't you guys out camping? Enjoying yourself? I know that, and there's many reasons I'm not out camping, but I'm not sure why you aren't. So this morning, we're happy you're here. Glad you were able to come and worship and spend some time looking at God's Word. That song is actually a bit of a song of faith for many of us, right? When we say, you are good, good, so good. Because some of us know that in life it's not so good all the time. And so as we say good, we're talking about something that God's shown us that's actually unseen physically, but is very visible as we enter into relationship with Him. A lot of those songs this morning were about God's heart and entering into God's heart and letting Him transform us, letting Him make us new. And so that's what we're going to look a bit at this morning. And I know that even this morning as you read through the bulletin, you see that Dora Jeffrey passed away. And so all of those things, as we look at that, we see that's heartbreaking. It's hard for the family, and we'll be in prayer for them. But we're rejoicing also because Dora's in heaven. And many of you have been through that experience, others here, just recently. And so I know to say God is good is a step of faith. But this morning, I want to dive a lot more into the unseen, the spiritual realm, that world where God wants to meet us and wants to bring something new to us and take us away from what's so distracting, and that is everything around us and what we might look like and what's happening with our neighbors, or maybe what's happening with this church, or how the church looks, or whether it's clean enough, whether my house is clean enough when I left it, and whether or not I'm ready for the meal when I come back, or whatever. Whatever's on your mind, what I have to do today, what do I have to sign up for, what didn't I sign up for, all these kind of things. God, bring us back to the heart of the gospel. We don't want to miss the heart of the gospel. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much this morning for your word that allows us to see, in some cases, the unseen, and to discover that there is a reality beyond what we're living in, but that we can embrace and actually walk in through you. And so, Father, I pray this morning that we would be able to do that, to be able to find you and experience something different, that you would take us away from the distractions of this world that are so strong, so hard, and so good too, and yet not always helpful. And God, bring us back into your hands and into your embrace, into your place. And if some have not come to know you here this morning, I trust that they would find that sense of your presence even this morning. So I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So thanks, Todd, for reading the scripture this morning. We're looking at Mark 7. And if you've read through Mark 7 before, you know it's a little bit odd, a little different. And it just, again, reflects a time when some leaders came and challenged Jesus with some things that they thought he was doing wrong, because he was taking control of things and winning over popularity and kind of running the show that they wanted to run. And so they put together basically their posse. It's interesting because these leaders, these Jewish leaders and the Pharisees, they were actually in Jerusalem before they came to see Jesus here. And what also is interesting is that the disciples, just before this story happened, according to a couple of the Gospels, were on the water. And they saw Jesus come walking to them. And they saw Jesus come and take care of them. And immediately they're at the other side of the shore. And then they watched people clamor to Jesus, wanting, if anything, just to touch him so that they could be healed. Because they realized that there was something unseen that was happening that was now visible to them. And they wanted a part of that. They wanted freedom, right? They wanted healing, just like we do. Just like we do. But sometimes we kind of lost track of the fact that we have a Savior who longs to give that to us. And so we go to the wrong things. We're looking at the wrong places. This is a reminder to go to the right places. And so here we have this posse in Jerusalem. They've been in front of Jesus before. Maybe these are different guys they're sending. Maybe they're the same guys. I don't know. I'm sure they studied up a little bit. They probably remember some of the things that Jesus and his disciples were doing. And they probably remembered that often Jesus and his disciples did not wash their hands. Is my water over here? Already losing it. Okay, thanks, Dylan. Did not wash their hands before they ate. And so that was not right. And as Todd said, in the scriptures it said that actually that went against the teachings and traditions of the elders. And they felt that was really important. And sure, they were trying to catch Jesus, but they actually did think that was really important. And sure, the traditions of these men that they were following, of these people that they were following, were not scripture, But I think they felt like it was based on Scripture. Because as we see in Leviticus and the Old Testament, there's a lot of talk there about being clean and unclean. And a lot of times it has these rituals that the Jewish people would go through that made them significant from all the other nations in order that they might come into the presence of God. So there was a foundation. It just wasn't scriptural to say that, hey, you got to wash your hands before you eat that. Otherwise, you're not pure. And see, that was the whole point, though, to be pure. Because if we can be pure, then we can come into a relationship and come into the presence of God and receive perhaps his forgiveness, perhaps his blessing, perhaps his presence to walk with us. But now something completely new has happened. Jesus has come. He set up a new covenant. He's going to take care of all that. So the key no longer is whether or not you wash your hands. That's missing the point. The key is, how's your heart? Where's your heart? What's going on in your heart? So this morning, as you know, I like to journey a little bit sometimes, and so I did that this morning. I haven't done it for a while. And my classic spot is to head over to Esquimalt. You know that, I think. So I was heading over to Esquimalt, and in order to go to Esquimalt from here, I always drive through right down Pandora. I don't know if you do that, but I just drive down Pandora and go over the bridge and head over to the church there, Esquimalt, the Harborview Church. And so I always find that painful because I used to, I don't know if you know, you probably all don't know this, but I was a youth pastor at Central Baptist for 4 years, many years ago, when Aaron was born. All right? Those were the days. And when I was there, we were right in the heart of so much brokenness, right? But we didn't really see it. As a youth pastor, I didn't anyhow. I shouldn't speak for them. And so I just did my ministry for youth in the surrounding Victoria, but didn't do a thing for the youth in the city. So every time I drive through there, it just breaks my heart because I see it in a different way. And as I drive through there, even this morning, you know, you watch all the police cars parked at different places. They're walking around trying to just make sure everything's safe and take care of things and everything stays clean and people are wandering around. And it's so easy to miss the heart of what God might want to do there and the heart of what maybe God is doing in those people, in fact. And how does God want to work through them in my life rather than me in theirs? Do you know what I mean? And so I went to... I made my way over to Esquimalt and to the Harborview Church. And I just went in and I prayed for the church, which I like to do. And of course, we prayed for our church too. Can I remind you to pray for them? Because as I did that, I finished praying and then I pulled around the parking lot because I wanted to spend some time with God before I came here because it's so important that I share God's word from God's perspective. And so I did that. And then as I'm doing that, I just kind of watch and I'm wondering, I wonder when they're going to come with their trailer. And because they have to unload all their stuff every day, right? They have this portable church that they move to the rec center. And they put it all in. I kind of watched them rolling all this stuff, a few people doing it. And I again reflected on how God is faithful and how he wants to work through us. But he requires us to step up and do it as well. So please be praying for the Harborview Church as they continue to be faithful in that community and there's exciting things happening. And pray for us as we are being faithful here, that God will continue to work through us. So I sat there, and I asked God to take me through a process. Recently I've been going through this process of coming into God's presence in a different way. I use a help now, it's actually an app, and I go to it, and it walks me through something. And so as I was doing that, it just happened to be on reflecting on things that are weaknesses or hurts in your life. And as I did that, I felt God speaking to me. And sometimes when we go through things like that, it's hard for us to sort of center down and figure out what it is the Holy Spirit might be saying to us. So I felt God saying something, and this app is really handy because it makes you kind of interact with interesting questions, but then gives you sort of options of things. Is it this category, this category, this category? And as I'm looking at it, I narrowed it right down. And it gave me something at the end to basically ask forgiveness of and something for God to give me. And as I did that, I experienced God's presence and I experienced a newness in me, something new God made something new in me because I took time to be with him and to let him do that. So I challenge you to do that, because in this passage that we're looking at, that's what God wanted to do with these people. He wanted to settle them down from all the distractions that were around them and wanted to bring it down to their heart and help them analyze and see what was happening in their heart, so that not that they would feel guilty or bad about the things that they were maybe doing that were missing the mark or missing the gospel in it, missing that heart. Not so much about that, but more so that they could experience life. That's different. Because that's not what the Pharisees were trying to do. They were actually trying to catch Jesus in something he was doing wrong so that they could then take control again. You see, yeah, it was based on some good things of cleanness, but really it was about control. And I think we can relate to that even in our church. We like to have control also. We like to have control about what's happening here. We like things not to change a lot. A two services is a challenge, right? Particularly when there's three people sitting in the middle in the first service and no one else is here. That's a challenge. But then you have to say, okay, God, what is the heart of this? What have you called me to? What is this for? And allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and learn what he wants to do in us. I believe a lot of it is about what he wants to do in us as we're doing things for him. Yeah, he's reaching other people, but really, that's what he does. But at the same time, he's capturing our heart. And he's bringing something new. And so the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law, they got their posse together. They're coming down all the way from Jerusalem. Very important mission they're on. And do not be deceived. People know they're coming on a mission. They see them. They're dressed in a certain way. They're carrying their cup to wash their hands before they eat, right? They got their pack because they're going to put on a full show so that everybody knows this is the way to do it. This is how it happens. So here they came, and they gathered in Jerusalem, and they came, and they gathered around Jesus, and they saw his disciples. They knew what was going to happen. They were eating food with hands, and they were defiled. They were unwashed. And the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the traditions of their elders, which everybody knew. They all knew that. It says in verse 5, so the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, they're waiting for this moment, right? And so they got this moment now. The light's on them, and they're going to lay it on them. Why don't your disciples live according to the traditions? Why don't they do it? Instead, they're eating food with defiled hands. They're not pure. They're not holy. They're going to be cursed. They had so many things that people could do if they walked by even a grave. They would have to go through a whole purification process, I believe, for a week. There were so many laws they had that they felt they needed to do, and they missed the heart of the gospel, which Jesus was coming to give to people. And people were literally just clamoring, as I said, around him to try to reach out and touch him because they wanted that heart. It was something different, something new. Just like some of you experienced, and I've experienced. It's life-giving, but they missed it. Anyhow, he replied really strongly. He quoted from Isaiah. They knew Isaiah really well, but they didn't think this would ever be quoted against them. That's not fair. He said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. I don't know if you know, but this passage was applicable in Isaiah's time. He was a prophet speaking to the Jews from Jerusalem. And now, in this passage, many, many years later, again, it's applicable to those Jews who were once again Jews from Jerusalem. God just continues his message, right? He carries it on, and he keeps going, not to make them feel bad, not to make them feel guilty, not to ridicule them, but actually to bring them to the heart of the gospel. To what is really true, what is really pure, what they really need to do. I don't know if you've ever been like this, but he then went on and he just nailed them. I'm not going to read the passage exactly what it says, but I'll tell you what it says. He said, oh, and by the way, guys, they're messing with God, right? So it's a little tricky. So, by the way, guys, you got this little vow that you guys take, and This vow apparently will set you free from helping people if you say it. So the vow is basically, and what he identified was a commandment. It says, love your mother and father, right? Well, the leaders had found a way to get around that just in case that was hard to do. So what you would do is you would make a vow and you'd say, I am giving my property or this amount of money to God. And it would be set aside for God. And that way they wouldn't be obligated to take care of their mother or father because they couldn't do that or didn't want to. But then they'd find loopholes where they could get that money or that property back so that then they would have what they wanted. And so what ended up happening was, the way I look at it is Jesus pulled back the veil of a self-righteous group of men and revealed to them what was in their heart. And that was not very nice. Actually, it was painful. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but many of us have. I have, and it's humbling. It's harsh. I just want to run and hide, and I want to defend myself, and I want to lie. I just want to lie my way out of it, and I want to get away, and then I want to figure out how to make it work so that I can come back and still live like that. I want to live in the lie because I don't want to be revealed for my weakness. Let's take some examples. What would happen, let's say, if someone was to have my laptop or your laptop, had access to our history, and just flip through it for a while? How would that be for you? I don't know. Might not be a problem at all. Let's say they had some of your Facebook feeds, or let's say they were on your Instagram, or let's say perhaps they just followed you downtown and just watched what you were doing, or maybe, maybe they went to work with you and they watched you there in that setting. I don't know what it is, and none of these things that I'm saying are designed for guilt. They're not. They're just simply designed for examination, to think about who we are and where we are and what truly is this heart of the gospel all about. Because it's easy to get caught up in the mission of the gospel, but forget the heart of the gospel. And so I'm calling you, and God's calling me, to the heart of the gospel. So that I don't stand up here and preach and look good and whatever, so that you see something good, but rather I'm concerned about my heart and where I am. And it's only by the grace of God that he draws me to a place like the Esquimalt rec field so that he can say to me, Rob, what about this? And where was that? And you know what? The thing is, that thing that he identified in my life, it's like a cycle that spins over and over and over. And I realized, I don't need that cycle. And I know who's the cycle breaker. I know that guy. That's Jesus. So in the name of Jesus, as we prayed this morning, because we believe in the name of Jesus, we believe in the power of God. I hope you noticed that this morning. When we pray, we believe God can do things and he can change things. In the name of Jesus, I give that to God. I ask forgiveness, and God, I ask you to make me new and give me the ability to have truth in my life. Give me the ability to have honesty. Give me the ability to be humble and compassionate rather than thinking about myself, but think about others. And then I start to feel a sense that God's starting to set me free. He's making me new. So it's about the heart of the gospel. It's very simple. It's small things. It's not the big things. It's actually the little things that he can do along the way where he can change us. So he pulled back the veil to them. He can pull back the veil to us. But again, it's not about exposing us for shame. It's about giving us the opportunity. That's what I always like to say. The opportunity to do something different. You see, when the Pharisees and the religious leaders came at Jesus with this question, he's not all up in arms and angry and upset with them. No, not at all, actually. It was a plan. It's part of God's plan. It's within God's kingdom. And so it's an opportunity. And he uses it to teach. And he has to be a little strong sometimes because we're stubborn-hearted and we're blind and we don't always hear. But as he pulls back the veil gently, he shows and exposes what truly is happening. And then we have to decide what we're going to do about it. Where do I go with this? Who do I go to with this? Or do I go anywhere? Or just keep lying, keep running and hiding? Because I've lived a life like that. Let me tell you, it's really not worth it. And it says later in verse 14, again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen to me. And it's interesting, right? Because he's trying to address everybody as he talks about this uncleanness and what it really is, what it's truly about. Oh, by the way, you know, they were really into this. It was a big thing. Like, they would set up the cloth a certain way, their cup and everything. You'd have to have a hand, like a fist at some point. I don't know what that was about. But there's a variety of things. And then if you, it even said at one point, you need to come to this washing already washed. It's like, it's very confusing. But there were so many rules in it. And Jesus was crashing through it. And then he said to them, listen to me, everyone. Understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them. So think about that. This is Jesus' words, not mine. So it was shocking to them too, by the way. And I think it can be shocking to us as well. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, what comes out of a person, that defiles them. And then he said in verse 17, after he had left the crowd and entered the house, the disciples asked him about this parable. And he responds with a really strong, one really short sentence, are you so dull? So I don't know why it was like that, but certainly it's the Son of God, and he definitely caught their attention. And he made them start to think. Maybe they were just getting in the process of depending on Jesus. And you're like, you tell me everything. I don't know anything. I don't know what. But no, he said, no, you got to think about this, guys. It has to be internal. It has to be from your heart, not mine. It has to be from your heart as I speak to you and as I transform. Are you so dull? Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and then out of their body. In saying this, Jesus declared that all foods were clean. And he went on and he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile a person. We have a heart problem. So, don't just wash yourself up. Stop just cleaning yourself up. Stop just making yourself look good. And take some time with Jesus. Figure out a way to do that, please. And it's going to have to be between you and God, and you can certainly invite people as you get into it. But, and if you need some ideas of how to do that, talk to me or Pastor Kyle or someone else. But this is serious business. Because that's really what we're talking about. It's not about how many chairs we can fill or anything like that. It's God wants to work on our inside. He wants to change that. And that's what we'll experience a life that will, good things will come out. Because he'll start to heal it. And he'll do it graciously. And I have many things I know in my heart that I still need work on. I know that. But the more I come with him, the more I realize he is the key. He's the one. He is the unseen God that is very, very active in our lives. And he wants to transform us, make us new. So as we read this passage, don't get so hard on the Pharisees. We got all our own stuff that we deal with. I remember it wasn't that long ago when we had a Sunday evening service and a Sunday morning service, and that was holy. If you're going to cancel that evening service, you got a problem. You see, that speaks all Pharisaical. What we change, it's not the thing that's important. You remember this story where Jesus talked about the fact that there's this wine, but there's always old wineskins that they were putting the wine in, and the old wineskins were bursting, and they needed wineskins. So the wine represented the gospel, basically. And the gospel's going to carry on for eternity. We just have to figure out how to put it in the proper wineskins so that people can receive it and discover who Jesus is. But the only way we're going to do that is as we get in relationship with Jesus, and he can transform us so that we can put aside all of our exterior things that we put in front of us and in front of other people to make us look so great. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much this morning for your word, and thank you that the Pharisees gave Jesus an opportunity to speak to us. I believe Isaiah's words are for me and for us. So anyhow, I just ask God that you change our hearts. And we would get back perspective in life, and we would experience your healing. Because you long to do that for us. You long to do that for us. And so we come into your presence, God, asking this morning that there are many here this morning, I think also, that we all know we've got things. We've got issues. We got stuff that we haven't worked through, and some of it we've been lying about for a long time. So please forgive us for that. And I pray that in your grace you would come humbly, you would come to us graciously, and that we would fall humbly before you and experience your healing in Jesus' name.